The World in Words is made possible in part by a major grant from the National Endowment for the Humanities, exploring the human endeavor.
Soundworks.
Soundworks.
From PRI.
Hi, it's Patrick Cox here. And one day this past summer in the Texas state capitol, Dennis Bonin, he's a Republican state representative, he said this.
And so there's a significant difference. I mean, you know, we had to, you know, have a teacher who could do Kunas in English, but I mean...
Hear that? Here it is again.
We had to, you know, have a teacher who could do Kunas in English.
Kunas. It refers to Cajun people. There are some Cajuns living in Texas and a whole bunch more of them in Louisiana. A state legislator in a committee hearing, a public hearing, using that term, it hit the news. But it also got people wondering, like, where did that expression come from? Is it an offensive term, an ethnic slur? Do people still even use it outside of the Texas State House? Well, one of the people asking herself those questions was Veronica Zaragovia. She reports on Texas state politics for the public radio station in Austin, KUT. And she was, in fact, so curious about the word that she contacted me and proposed that she drive a few hundred miles to southern Louisiana and ask around. I didn't take much convincing. Here's Veronica's report.
Eunice, Louisiana is one of those places that lets you know exactly where in America you are.
I'm the owner of KBON 101.1 FM down in Cajun country.
This is radio station owner Paul Marks.
Je connaissais très bien différent que la France et le Canada, mais quand même c'est toujours notre langue ici. On parle toujours Cajun ici, ça fait. I just said, because I could tell you in Cajun French, we do still speak French here. A little different than Canada or France, but it's still our language, French.
Cajun culture and the French language weren't always so valued. In fact, French as a spoken language nearly disappeared. But the language and the culture have made a comeback.
We do a variety of music with a Louisiana flavor. About 75% of our overall music is from Louisiana recording artists.
Artists like Jamie Bergeron and the Kickin' Cajuns. People from around here either love or hate one of Bergeron's songs. It's called Registered Kunas.
I love my crawfish on the spicy side, and I love a fiddle door on a Friday night. I'm a registered Kunas. No disrespect, they call me white trash. Rubber boots in the fridge, I speak.
You can hear the song on Paul Marx's radio station. He likes it, but not all Cajuns do.
I kind of got a threat by an attorney that if I continued playing the song, there would be a lawsuit.
The attorney was Warren Perrin, who threatened to file a complaint with the Federal Communications Commission if KBON kept playing the song. Since then, the station now only plays it if a listener requests it, and DJs announce it not as registered Kunas, but RCA. Warren Perrin's law office is 40 miles away in Lafayette, on a street called Rue de la France. Perrin regularly sends letters to people asking them to stop using the word Kunas.
We ask that the person voluntarily do so, and that is usually the end of it.
For 16 years, Perrin served as president for an organization called the Council for the Development of French in Louisiana.
That state agency is the only one in America existing, supported by state of Louisiana, to promote the French language. We have 30 French immersion schools, eminently successful. So we turned it around and we developed along the way pride in ourselves.
Pride in your roots and the word Kunas don't go together, Perrin says. He's part of a movement that has tried to stamp out the use of the word. The movement won a big victory back in 1981 when it got the Louisiana state legislature to condemn the word as offensive. Legislators not only condemned it, they outlined the word's etymology. Local Cajun historian Shane Bernard takes up the story.
The politicians in Baton Rouge wrote, "The word Kunas comes from the standard French word canasse, which means dirty whore or stupid person. Cajun GIs were called this when they were in France during World War II. Anglo GIs who were standing nearby didn't know what that meant, but said, sounds like Kunas, so that's what we're going to call you from now on."
That's the official take on the origin of the word, a vulgar ethnic slur. But it's not correct, Bernard says. He found a photo from the National Archives taken in April 1943 of a plane called the Cajun Kunas. The photo was taken before the Allied invasion of France.
Because there were no Cajuns in France or any Americans in France until June 6, 1944, which is D-Day, that means that if the Kunas theory were true, it had to have been created sometime after D-Day. And presumably you had to have, you know, some extended period of time for the word to morph into Kunas.
Bernard says he's found other references to the word predating D-Day. As far as he's concerned, no one can be sure where the expression comes from. Whatever its origins, Kunas isn't a slur these days to people like Angie Sanye. I found Sanye on a rainy afternoon taking shelter beneath the roof of a ShopRite store in Doosan, Louisiana. The store sold bumper stickers and t-shirts with a registered Kunas logo on them. Sanye doesn't care about the history of Kunas.
If it was meant being ugly when it first came out, it's not ugly now. Not unless you look at it that way. And some people may. I just don't.
Instead, Kunas is shorthand for her rural Cajun identity.
I was raised, you know, running crawfish traps with my dad and working on a farm with my dad and doing different other things, going fishing with my family, and it's around here. It's in your blood.
At his radio station, Paul Marx echoes that sentiment. He remembers when speaking French at school was taboo.
You tried to shame us, but now you know what? A lot of people want to be Kunases. It's kind of our way of slapping them in the face and saying, you didn't accomplish anything. We're still here. You're just an American. We're Cajun, baby. We're Kunases.
It seems that, for better or for worse, the expression will be sticking around for a while. For The World, I'm Veronica Saragovia in Louisiana.
More in a few moments on the expression and its mysterious origins. First, some more about French language and culture in Cajun country. From the lawyer Veronica spoke to, the guy who objects to the word Kunas, Warren Perrin. Here is his potted history of, well, you might call it the Cajun rights movement.
The French that we speak today is the pre-Richelieu French. The French that was standardized in 1638, the Acadians had already departed France, so they speak an ancient French. And we are told when we go to France and speak our patois, French people hear it as though you would hear, oh, Shakespearean English in the terms we still use today and the terms that we picked up along the way. In 1921, the Louisiana Constitution outlawed not only the speaking of French, which was our native language, but to speak it publicly in public buildings or events. And so for about 50 years, we did everything possible to destroy that language that had survived for so many years and that culture. So I had an older brother who was born before World War II. When he started school, against the law to speak French, he only spoke French, so he was punished. There were various methods of punishing children, making them kneel down on shelled pecans or hard rice, and making them feel right lines on the board, I shall not speak French in school. My father, again, conscripted, drafted, forced to go to World War II with the Army, was laughed at, sneered at, made to be like he was trash because he couldn't speak English. But he learned, he came home, and in his own way, as many soldiers of Cajun descent returned to Louisiana, they often said, j'ai parti un Cajun, j'ai revenu un Américain. Translated, I left a Cajun, I came back an American. That was transformative. So here comes Warren Perrin, born in 47, a baby boomer. Mom and Dad made a decision never to speak French to me, to give me a better opportunity and not make me feel ashamed like my brother Terry. 5 years apart, we were a bilingual family. Till the time my parents died, they would always speak English to me, French to my brother at home. It works. I wanted to be an American. I walked away from my culture and my language. I go to law school, but there's something missing in your heart and your soul. It's in your DNA. There are 3 million Acadians in the world today, at least 3 million, at least 1 million in Louisiana and East Texas. And the word that they called us over the years is going to stop. And the way you do that is through education, and if that doesn't work, laws. And just like the blacks asserted their civil rights in the 60s, that allowed the Acadians to ask the question, why not us too? And that led to a civil rights movement by the Acadians of Louisiana, causing a change in the Constitution. Not only did they reverse the law, but they passed a law creating a state agency, Council for the Development of French in Louisiana. The acronym is CODOFIL. In 1980, a man named Calvin Roach, who was a Cajun, was continually called Kunas by his co-workers and supervisors with Dresser Industries, a major company. He was an engineer. They build nuclear power plants. He brought a lawsuit under the Civil Rights Act and was successful. There is a federal court decision finding that although Acadie was never a country, we had acquired all the characteristics of nationhood, and we were granted protection as a minority under the Civil Rights Act. Therefore, there are limitations on speech where you cannot discriminate in certain situations against minorities, and we are a protected minority under the Civil Rights Act pursuant to that case and several other cases, and it's used as an example under the federal laws. So, idiots can call us Kunas on the street because that does not prohibit free speech. But in certain workplace situations, you cannot get a trademark for Kunas. You cannot use that in marketing purposes. The state of Louisiana passed a law in 1981 prohibiting that.
Warren Perrin, former president of the Council for the Development of French in Louisiana. But even if you can stop people using the word commercially, making money out of it, you can't stop people from using it to describe themselves. And as we've heard, there's pretty compelling evidence that the state of Louisiana's official declaration of what the word means is just plain wrong. Time to hear a bit more from historian Shane Bernard.
I personally am very interested in the origin of Kunas. Maybe I have too much time on my hands, I don't know, but I just find it interesting, and I intend to keep pursuing the matter and seeing how early we can find the term in usage. But I myself, as a historian, I really don't express whether or not I like the term. I just find it interesting the way other people react to the term, and so I observe about once a year. The subject seems to come up in the media. Someone will say it on the radio or on TV or in a recording, and it will flare up. The debate will last a few days, maybe a week or so, and then it'll disappear again for another year. There was an African-American woman who was an employee of the federal government, and she went to Southeast Texas. This was in the 80s or 90s, I think. She worked for the Department of Energy, so she went to visit some sort of energy facility down there. And her fellow government workers gave her an honorary Kunas certificate, which was their way of saying, you're one of us, you're welcome here. It was a positive thing to do. But she, being from up north, knew only the word coon as an ethnic slur, a racial slur against African Americans, so she took great offense. She sued and she won. It didn't really matter what the intention was of her coworkers down there in Texas. It only mattered that she was offended. As I understand it, that's how the law works. So she won that that lawsuit. The only other lawsuit that has ever come out of the whole Kunas issue also revolved around the use of the term in the workplace. And that's when Calvin Roach, a Cajun from South Louisiana, was called a Kunas and heard other people being called Kunas in the workplace. He worked for a petroleum-related company. He objected. He was fired. He sued, claiming protection under the Civil Rights Act. And there were two parts to the trial. The first part was to establish whether or not Cajuns were even covered by the Civil Rights Act, because it was unclear whether or not the courts would recognize Cajuns as a bona fide ethnic group. The second part would actually deal with penalties and that sort of thing. Well, as soon as the judge said Cajuns are covered by the Civil Rights Act, the oil company said, we need to settle this out of court because this is not going our way. And so it was settled in favor of the person who was offended by the term. So as far as I know, there have been two cases, legal cases involving the word kunas. Both of them had to do with the word being used in the workplace and someone taking offense. Whether or not someone listening to the radio and hearing the term and being offended, whether or not they have any basis for complaining legally, I don't know. You'd have to ask someone like Warren Perrin. You had, in the early 1970s, Edwin Edwards, the Cajun governor of Louisiana, who incidentally is in his 80s and he's running for office again now, he was using the word kunas in reference to himself. And Jimmy DiMaggio and CODOFIL, the Council for Development of French in Louisiana, objected. But there again, you had someone using it as a badge of ethnic pride. What I found is that working class Cajuns tend to embrace the term as a badge of ethnic pride. Middle class and upper class Cajuns, not so much. And also, if you look at straw polls that the newspapers take, whenever this issue flares up in the local media from year to year, you find that most people are not offended. This most recent incident involving the Texas politician spurred the New Orleans Times-Picayune to post an internet poll that anybody could, you know, participate in. And last time I checked, most people said kunas is not an offensive term. But you still had, you know, a substantial minority who said it is offensive. So I think you can certainly say it's a controversial term.
Shane Bernard, author of several books about the Cajuns, including The Cajuns, Americanization of a People. We have photos from Cajun country of some of the people that Veronica Zaragovia interviewed. They're at pri.org/language. And this music, by the way, is from 1934. The song is sung in Cajun French by Cleoma Falcon. The song's called Blues Nègres. What a voice. I'll be back next week with more of our translation series. Until then, I'll see you on Facebook at the World in Words page or on Twitter. I tweet as Patrick Cox or over at soundworks.org. That's where you'll find all the other podcasts in the Soundworks network, One with Farai, Sideshow, and Radio Ambulante Unscripted. Au revoir.
The World in Words is made possible in part by a major grant from the National Endowment for the Humanities, Exploring the Human Endeavor. The World in Words is also supported in part by PRI's New Voices Fund, bringing new perspectives and personalities to public media. Donors to the fund include Maureen and Michael Rutgers and the Sarah and Evan Williams Foundation.
Soundworks.
Soundworks.
From PRI.